Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Well, today is the 14th of May. Next week is the 21st of May. And according to Chris Holding, Protestant pastor, the rapture is going to take place. Now, since it's getting a little closer and closer and not too much has happened, he's going to have to change his story. Because if nothing happens, it's going to prove the Bible true. Okay? Come here to Matthew 24. You all know this one, don't you? Huh? Perfect example of someone who's a well-known minister who has preached for years. And also, Franklin Graham, if you hear him speak, he's always asked this on every television show he goes on. When will the Lord return? Well, he may come tonight, and it may be way out in the future. Now, why did he say that? Because they believe in a rapture, so the rapture may be tonight. Now, can you imagine getting to heaven in your pajamas? Okay. There will be no rapture. Okay. And they don't know the day. So for Chris Holding to say that he can set the date, now it's going to be interesting to understand what his excuse is going to be. Now, someone said, well, he'll probably say the first trumpet was blown. Well, that means if the first trumpet is blown, then there has to be a starting of a mass movement to bring all the religions of the world. No, you can't have the trumpets blown until you have the seals open. Let's see what Jesus says. Verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation, now that's the end time generation, verse 34, shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So that pretty well settles the issue, you see. But that demonstrates the problem that people don't know how to read their Bibles. And they don't know how to study their Bibles. That's why the very first appendices we have in the Bible is the 14 rules of Bible study. See? One of the rules is don't read your opinion into it. Because it may be wrong. Okay? Now let's come to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's see something here concerning what they call the rapture. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4. And the rapture goes clear back to 1871. Okay? No. 1780. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4. All right? Now you see another error that they have. Here's a good example of one error leads to another error. They all believe we have immortal souls. And they believe that when we die, our soul goes to heaven. Well, Ezekiel 18 says, God says, all souls are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. And the soul that does not sin is going to die his normal death and will not know anything. That's what the Bible says. All right? But here's what they do in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Verse 14. They turn here. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Yes, we all believe that. In exactly the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See? He's going to bring them with him. So that means since Jesus is coming from heaven, they've got to be in heaven because he's going to bring them with him. All right? They never answer or ask the question, when do they get there, and what is the time frame of them getting there? Okay. All right, let's read on. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise precede those who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, how are you going to have people raised from the dead if they're already in heaven? That's like saying, come home to eat. And you shout from the living room, get off the phone, I'm here. See? Doesn't make sense. You have to read on. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. So they're not going to be with him until when? After the resurrection. Okay? How about that? Now, let's come to Revelation here for just a minute. All right, Revelation 11, verse 15. Here's when the resurrection takes place. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. Then the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, for you've taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. The nations were angry. Your wrath has come, which then will be the seven last plagues. And the time of the dead to be judged and to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. So there's the resurrection. When they're raised up in the air, we find this. Hold your place in Revelation, because we're coming back. Okay. When the trumpet blows, how are we going to get from here to there? All right. Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall the sign of the Son of Man appear in heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. See, that agrees with both 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 11, seventh trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, reach down the whole earth, and from one end of heaven to the other, they're just going to be brought up to meet Christ. Where are they going to meet him? Okay, back to Revelation 11. And let's go from there over to chapter 14, and let's see the harvest. Verse 14. Revelation 14 and verse 14. I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Where did it say that Jesus was going to be? On the clouds, right? And one like the Son of Man, sitting on the cloud, having a golden crown on his head, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who was sitting on the cloud thrust his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. Okay? Now, we're coming up to Pentecost, so we'll cover more of that on Pentecost. Come over here to chapter 15. Where do they go? Now, there's a second harvest a little later, which is the harvest of the wicked. All right? Revelation 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres of God. Now those are similar to harps, but they're different. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of saints. So all who are resurrected are going to go where? On a sea of glass. Now, God's throne is going to come down to that point. Let's see something else. Come back here to Revelation, the fourth chapter. And let's see what it says concerning the sea of glass here. Now, Revelation 4. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was this, as if a trumpet were speaking with me, saying, Come up here. And I will show you the things that must take place after these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit. So this was a vision. Okay? And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one was sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone and a sardius stone. And a rainbow was around the throne like an emerald in its appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on those thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads golden crowns. And proceeding from the throne were lightnings and thunders and voices, and seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, were burning before the throne. And before the throne was a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne and over the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. Okay? Sea of glass. It's empty there, but over in Revelation 14, the resurrected ones are on the sea of glass. Now let's see in the Old Testament that was even with the children of Israel and Moses. Let's come here to Exodus 24. Now, Exodus 24 is very interesting. This is after Moses received all the instructions, Exodus 21, 22, and 23. And this is when the covenant with Israel was ratified after receiving the Ten Commandments on the day of Pentecost. So let's read what God says. And he said to Moses, Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Okay? Now, very interesting. God always establishes things with witnesses, right? Everything will be established with two or three witnesses. Okay, notice what we have. Moses and the Lord, and then Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. And 70 the elders of Israel and worship far off. Okay? 24, verse 1. Okay? Okay. We'll get to verse 9 a little later here. All right. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. So here was a delegation that was going to go up and verify that, yes, this was God who gave all these instructions. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. So if you say you're going to do something that God says, he's going to hold you accountable. Okay? And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning, built an altar at the base of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of bullocks to the Lord. Moses took half the blood, put it in a basin. Half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Remember, a covenant is never in force until there is a sacrifice. Always important to remember. And he took the book of the covenant, read it into the ears of the people. So God wants everyone to know what he requires. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the New Testament. That's why we take the Passover to renew the new covenant. And that's why we read the words of the covenant. Because these are the words of the new covenant there in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. See? So just like Moses read all the words of the covenant in the ears of the people, so likewise we do on Passover. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. So if you tell God that, you better do it, see? That's why in the new covenant, there is baptism. Because you die in that watery grave and come out to walk in newness of life because you're going to walk in God's way. All right? Now let's see what happened here. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. They knew what that meant. Which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Everything that he had there. Now, he can add more words to it as he goes along based upon the original words that he gave. All right, now verse 9. And Moses went up, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And as it were, the heavens in clearness. So they saw that it was God. They all knew. No excuse. Nothing like Chris Holding, you know. Well, I'm going to have to figure out what to say after May 21st. Well, it's going to be interesting because we'll be here for Sabbath on the 21st, so we'll see what happens. Okay, no. God wants you to know what you're doing. He wants you to understand the words that he has said. Okay? And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands. And also they saw God and ate and drank. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there. And I will give you tables of stone and the law and commandments which I have written so that you may teach them. Now, this is really something, see? Verse 13, and Moses rose up and his attendant Joshua. Moses went up into the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, you wait here for us until we come again to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. And if any man has a cause, let him come to them. Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and in the sight of the glory of the Lord, was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain to the eyes of the children of Israel, that is, on the ground, as they looked up. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud, went into the mountain, and Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, God always tells us what he's going to do. So he said, I want you to build me a sanctuary. Take up an offering. Okay? Come here to verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. Chapter 25 and verse 8. Now, wouldn't you think that the people would be happy that God was going to do this for them? And God be with them? And, you know, remember all the plagues and things that he did to get them out of Egypt, see? Bringing them to Mount Sinai and giving them the Ten Commandments. And it was so awesome and so frightful and fearful, they said, oh, Moses, you know, whoa, Moses, you go. And we'll do all the words that you tell us. Now, you see, it doesn't matter if you're in God's presence. If you say to God you're going to do what he says to do, he's going to hold you accountable. And I've mentioned that concerning this nation. We are a nation that said, oh, we want God on our side. So, what does our Constitution tell us? It tells us about we're endowed from our Creator with inalienable rights, correct? Rights do not come from men. They come from God. Okay? So here was a tremendous proposition. Here was something that was going to be fantastic. God was going to dwell among his people. Well, problem is, they wanted to have their way. So let's come over here to Exodus 31. Let's see how the story turned out. Let's see what took place. Let's see the last thing that Moses was told by God. And then we will see what the people did. And we will see who was involved. Now, Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbaths you shall keep. Okay? All of God's holy days are Sabbaths, so this is the weekly Sabbath every week, the holy days during the year. For it, now the it is referring to the keeping of the Sabbaths. It shall be a sign between me and you throughout your generations, to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. It's still a sign between the people of God and God to this very day, see. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. Now, this is why we have in the appendices in the Bible Rome's challenge to the Protestants from the Baltimore Mirror, which was the Catholic newspaper, in 1893, challenging the Protestants and telling them, you are such absolute hypocritical fools, I'll just put it that way, because you say you go by the Bible. And if you go by the Bible, God says the Sabbaths are his and you ought to keep them. And furthermore, we want you to know that Sunday is a Catholic institution not found anywhere in the Bible. So if you want to keep Sunday, stop your hypocrisy and go with the Bible 100% sola scriptura, or come on to Catholic ground 100%. Because what you're doing is a death-dealing thing in your life, because it says, anyone who does not keep the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. Your stance Cardinal Gibbon wrote in that article to the Protestants, is suicidal. Your keeping of Sunday is a death wish. But he didn't think it was a death wish for the Catholics, though. See? Hey? So remember, whenever you take God into anything, and we did a survey of all of the state constitutions, all 50 of the states, not 57, as Obama said, those are the Muslim countries. He did say that. All 50 states appeal to God in the preamble of their state constitution. And most of them refer to the Almighty God. And that is a very interesting reference, because that's how God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as the Almighty God. See? El Shaddai. He appeared to the children of Israel as YHVH, or Jehovah.
That first resurrection you want to be in.
Since we're here, the question came up, what happened to the Sea of Glass? We're moving beyond the Sea of Glass to see what happened. In other words, the moral of the story is this. Aaron, who's the high priest to be, his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of the children of Israel went up to this level of the mountain, looked up and saw the sea of glass. They saw that it was God. They said, all that God has said we will do. So God now is going to give instructions on how to make the tabernacle and what to do. Okay? So he gets done giving all of that. And he's finalizing right here what he said to Moses in verse 13 through 18. Now, the point is going to be this. If you see something spectacular happen, is it going to make enough of an impression upon you that you'll be obedient? That's the question. Because they all said, we're going to be obedient. We're going to do what you said. So, even after seeing all of that, let's see what they did. All right? For it, the keeping of the Sabbaths, is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, this is a very important point, that if you don't keep the Sabbath, you are not sanctified. Now, today, the same thing applies, but it applies with the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not sanctified. And as we've seen with the washing of the water of the Word, that's how Christ keeps sanctifying the church. Forgive our sins, cleanses of our sins, etc. See? Okay? So this is an important thing. So if they don't keep the commandments of God, if they don't keep the Sabbath of God and the holy days, they don't realize who the true God is. The true God is not in Christmas and Easter and New Year's and Sunday and Halloween and all of that. He's not there. Verse 14, now he gets to the regular Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Isn't that what happened? What happens in society today? Friday night comes, and what happens? Bang! It's party time, everybody. See? Are they cut off from God? Of course they don't know God. Do horrible things happen? Yes. Most of the young people and teenagers have the majority of their problems happen on Friday and Saturday night. Now, Saturday night is not holy, but from Friday night to sunset on Saturday is holy. So Satan has them out there diverted, doing their own thing. Partying. Isn't that when most illicit sex takes place? Isn't that when introduction of drugs takes place in many cases? And look at all of these rock concerts that they have. And those things are set up. They now know that there are certain frequencies that can reduce your resistance mentally to moral, how should we say, obedience. And with the music blasting through you, I haven't gone to a concert, but we went to a movie one time years ago. And I forget what the movie was, but they have the music just on so loud and the explosions and everything. You sit there and it's almost like, you know, an 80-mile-an-hour wind coming through you. And I thought, no wonder people have to go out and have experiences. See? They're all cranked up on emotions and experiences, see? And Satan is right there on the Sabbath to do it. Now, after they get over their hangover on Saturday morning, what do? Well, they go to a football game and they go to a basketball game and all of that sort of thing. Defile the Sabbath. Are they cut off from among your people, the people of God? Yes. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Because only God can make things holy. And when he puts his presence in it, it is holy. Just like what happened when Moses saw the burning bush. And he saw it up there on the side of the mountain burning, and it wasn't consumed. So he went up there to see what it was. And he got up there, and the first thing he was told, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Well, wherever God is, it's holy. So the Sabbath is holy because God puts his presence in it spiritually, you see. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Oh, Dolores and I were looking at ranges because our range is 13 years old and it's getting kaput. So we were looking at it. And we're reading the specs that they have for different stoves. Because you go, they don't have the stove you want there, so you've got to look on a computer and you've got to read what the specs are. And electric stoves now have Sabbath mode. And I didn't know what that was. I should have known, but I didn't. Thor said, that's for the Jews. Mm-hmm. Well, I never, you know. See? Now they have it so even the Jews can't cheat on the Sabbath. Huh? Okay. All right, back to this. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now, what we have here is a separate covenant alongside the covenant that he was making with them. Perpetual. That means continuously through all time. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Well, before we go on and continue, because it'll take us a little more time, so we'll stop a little short here and take a little break, and then we will come back and finish the rest of the story.